All right, very good. Good to see you this morning. Let's turn this morning to Exodus 20. Been a couple of weeks since we have looked at this. Last Sunday, Mother's Day, and now we are going back to the commandments, the Ten Commandments. And today we're going to look at the fourth commandment. The first commandment told us who we are to worship. There was the true God. There are no other gods before him. The second commandment told us how we were to worship, not with graven images. The third commandment talked about the use of his name, using his name in vain. Now we come to the fourth commandment, and the fourth commandment has three verses to it. Notice what it is in the fourth commandment. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We are in a rush. Man is in a rush. Man stays busy. Man goes from one thing to another. Man seems to have no time for leisure. Man does not have any downtime, it seems. So what happens? Sunday becomes their day of leisure. Sunday becomes their day of downtime. A day that they can do what they want to do. Because they're looking for that extra day. And guess where it falls? It falls on Sundays. Not only for the unsaved, who we don't expect them to be in the house of God, but for the Christian as well. It becomes their day of leisure. It becomes their down day, the day that they get rest. For the Christian, it is to be a holy day. It is to be a day for the Lord. And it is the Lord's day, as it came to be called. Early church started worshiping and meeting on the first day of the week because that was the day that Christ arose. The Sabbath day was the seventh day. But as the early church started, they changed that after the resurrection of Christ. But how many, including Christians, would rather do something else than to be in church? How many, including Christians, would rather do something and make it their day and not the Lord's day? How many would do that? Many Christians ask the question, can I do this on Sunday? Should I do this on Sunday? Can I do this or that or whatever? Oh, I don't want to be legalistic, but I don't want to dishonor the Lord on the Lord's day. Well, that makes the fourth commandment the most controversial of all the commandments. Is this commandment we're going to be looking at this Sunday, next Sunday, possibly the next Sunday, because it is so controversial in Christian circles. And so, what do we want to do as we look at this fourth commandment? What about this fourth commandment? Well, we're going to go to another portion of Scripture before we get into it here. There are three points that he makes in Exodus 20 concerning this day. But then I want us to go to the New Testament first in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Christ is, while he was on this earth, he was always facing opposition. He was always facing it from the religious leaders of his day. And as Jesus increasingly attacked the rabbinical tradition, the more they increased their attacks on him. And that's what's going to happen here in our passage this morning. On this particular occasion, it was confrontation with the Pharisees over the Sabbath. The cause was the Lord's disregard for their strict rules concerning the Sabbath. Sabbath observance was at the very heart, of the Jewish religious system. There was the Talmud. The Talmud that had been put together was a section that contained 24 chapters concerning Sabbath laws. The Hebrew word is Shabbat, meaning to rest, to cease from activity. At the end of the creation, after God created for 6 days, it says on the seventh day, he sanctified it because he rested on that day. And in the honor of that day, the Lord declared it to be a special day, a day of rest and remembrance for his people. And he commanded it to be observed. That's the commandment. It is. Now, I hold a little bit different view here. There are some that say that this is the only commandment that is not a moral commandment. They say this is a ceremonial commandment. I'm not sure I agree with that wholeheartedly. I believe it's both. And we'll mention that a little later. Next week, we'll probably get in it a little more. So, there are those who say it was not a moral commandment. It was strictly ceremonial. And it's the only commandment that's not a moral commandment. The Sabbath had become anything, though, but a day of rest. It had become a time of oppression. It became a time of frustration because of the strict rules that the Pharisees had put upon it. That 24 chapters in the Talmud laid out the restrictions for the Sabbath day. Notice in chapter 11 what preceded this. Look at verse 28. Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So you read those, Christ was offering, he made an offer here to the multitude over against the strictness of the Pharisees. They were under that. They were not resting under the Pharisees when it came to Sabbath. They were not resting under the Pharisees. They were frustrated. They were oppressed. I mean, they couldn't do anything. And Christ says, "Come unto me and I'll give you rest." And then he goes into the situation with the Sabbath. Now, There was justification for their concern. The Pharisees, they're justified for their concern over the Sabbath. First of all, no law of God should be treated lightly. No law of God should be treated lightly. Secondly, they remembered that the reason for the Babylonian captivity was their failure to keep the Sabbath. That was huge. And their failure to keep that led to the Babylonian captivity. But the Pharisees, they had taken that law and they had added all these stipulations. We may go over some next week. Just unbelievable stipulations of things they could not do or could do on the Sabbath. If, let's say a man or woman is walking along and this wall gives way and falls on them on the Sabbath, you could go over there and remove enough of the rubble to see if they're alive. But that's all you could do. You had to leave them there until after Sabbath was over. Then you could go back and rescue them. So on the Sabbath, if that happened, you could move enough to look and make sure, you know, they're not dying. And if not so, they might have been bruised up bad, I guess, like Jane and Randall. You would just leave them. And come back after the Sabbath. And you'd minister to them. You'd help them out. So it's ridiculous things like that. It's kind of like Nathan was talking about up in Siberia when he passed the guy laying on the street. And he just went around him with the bus. And the guy on the bus said, well, what about the guy back there? He said, well, he's either drunk or dead. We just go on. I always wonder, was that the Sabbath? I don't know. But that's the silly. I mean, you couldn't spit on the Sabbath. You couldn't even spit on the Sabbath. There are so many things you could not do on the Sabbath. So you can understand why these people were oppressed. You can understand why they were so frustrated. But yet, remember, they also saw the Pharisees as the religious leaders. And even though they were oppressed and frustrated, they saw them as the ones that knew what was good for them. And so they followed along with them. We always called the Talmud the dumb lat backwards in college. But that's what it was. It was really just a lot of dumb things in there that the Pharisees had put together, especially that portion of it. So the Pharisees had taken these laws, this law concerning the Sabbath, and they had added their own regulations, and it made it more burdensome. Now, again, they were trying their best to build a hedge around it. They were trying their best to build a hedge around it to protect them, because they knew what had brought Israel into captivity, especially Judah. So they knew that. So that was the problem. So they had a good motive, but they went way too far with it. And it put the people under much oppression. And so, again, they had all these guidelines. And that's what the Lord is running up against in our text. Now, what is it that started this? Notice verse 1, chapter 12. And at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. Now, look, don't picture corn as like a cornfield out here. Don't picture it like, you know, you go out there and you get you some, what is it now? I'm trying to think of the name that I like. You know, you can get sweet corn and all. What is it? Queen.
Silver Queen.
Huh? Silver Queen, yeah. Yeah, Seneca Chief, I think. Silver Queen. I'm trying to think of that. Don't think of it. That's not the corn we're talking about here. The word corn literally means grain. It's just grain. So it's not the thing where you shuck it and everything and you get it. So they go out through the field, or by the field, and there's this field of corn. There's this grain. It could be wheat. It could be barley. But it's just a term then for grain. They didn't have any corn mazes over there. They didn't have any of that. Okay? Now notice. And that Sabbath day threw the corn. And his disciples, they were hungry. And began to pluck the ears of corn and eat. So they plucked the grain. Now in Luke, when you took the parallel to this, in Luke chapter 6, is that they rubbed the corn. Also, he added that, Luke did. And so they would take their hands and rub it. Well, what are they doing? They're not rubbing the kernels off the cob. They're cleaning it. They're removing the chaff that's on that wheat or whatever the grain is. They're cleaning it up. They're removing the chaff and all that's on it and removing some of the shuckings. And then they would eat it. Yes, they ate it raw. They didn't cook it. They would eat it. But it would satisfy their hunger. Okay? So that starts off here. Now, so they're walking through the cornfield. The disciples are hungry. So they pluck the ears. They rub them with the hand between their hands. They're getting it cleaned up best they can. They're removing all the chaff and everything. And then they eat it. Now, they had a right to do this. Remember, Ruth did this. Remember, you could glean around the edges of a person's grain field. And evidently, that's what they were doing. The law gave them permission to do that, that you could glean, you could get the food around a person's crop. And that's what they were doing. And so they were picking up this grain, and they were cleaning it, and they were eating it. So that was kind of a welfare system in those days. And so that's all they're doing. But in verse 2, when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." Now, Christ gives them an answer. Verse 3 to 8. But he said unto them, "Have ye not read what David did when he was hungry? And they that were with him were hungry. How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat," not in the temple, "neither for them which were with him, but it was only for the priests," only them. So there was a law. And David broke that law. He went in and ate, which only the priests were to eat, the showbread. And so he brings that before them. Verse 5. "Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" In other words, what he's saying to them, they profane the Sabbath and you hold them blameless. "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." Well, who's he talking about? Talking about himself. "But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless." You would not have condemned my disciples, us, or any of them that would have done what my disciples did. "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." Even of the Sabbath day. So his response here, he says, "Have you not read?" Well, sure they had. They were the Pharisees. They read the Old Testament. They read the Septuagint. They read all that. They had read the Pentateuch. They read all that. They knew all these laws. They were the Pharisees. So they had read them. The problem was they had not understood it. It's just like he said to them one time, "You read the scriptures, you know, because you think in them you have eternal life, but they are that which speak of me." In other words, you don't see me. You don't see me in it. You read the scriptures, you think because you know the scriptures and you got all that, that's going to give you eternal life, but you missed it. Because you missed what it's all about. You missed me. They speak of me. Same thing he's telling them here. You know the Pentateuch. You know the Old Testament. You know all of that. You know the story of David. You know the situation there. You know what happened. But you didn't catch it. You didn't grab the significance of what was taking place at that particular time. And he's basically saying, if you had, you would not have approached to the Sabbath. You would know your approach to the Sabbath is completely wrong. Talking to the Pharisees. David's need for the moment was hunger. Those that were with him, it was hunger. And what he is telling them is the need that David had superseded the normal laws. It, in a sense, eclipsed the law because of the need he had. And the Pharisees, he is saying, you should have known that the law was given to help people, not hinder people. The law was given to help. That was my whole intention of all the law, is to help the people in every area. Not all, I mean, in civil areas of civil, the civil areas, in little areas of morality. He said all of the law was to help my people, not hinder them. But you've taken it and you have hindered them. You have not helped them at all. So, it was for God's glory. The law was given for that. It was for God's glory and man's welfare. And it was not intended to restrict love. Talking about the Sabbath. It was not intended to restrict showing love. It was not intended to restrict showing mercy. You walk by a person, the ball is falling on, you help them. You help them. But the Pharisees said, no, you can't do it till after the Sabbath. You can't show any love or mercy to that person until after the Sabbath. And he said, the law, that was not given to stop you from showing love. It was not given to stop you from showing mercy. It was not given to hinder the service of the Lord. Remember, he talked about the priest here. It was not hindered to that. And so that was the point that the Lord was trying to get across. In Mark's account, we see this phrase. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That's interesting. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what I read this morning coming in. I can't remember. Well, you know, sometimes we take verses and we don't use them correctly. Really. We just don't. And I can't remember what I was reading. I almost slipped my mind. Sometimes we take that to mean it's made for man to do what he wants to do. I can do what I want to do. Wrong. That is not what it's saying. That is not what it's saying. Mark said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That's the point that the Lord is making here in Matthew. The laws governing the Sabbath, as well as all the other laws, were for man's benefit. For man's benefit, not to hinder him, not to make life difficult. That was not the point. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome." Pharisees had made it that way. Pharisees had made it way. And then he tells of the priests working in the temple. They're doing their work in the temple. They're carrying out their duties. And the most strict Pharisees considered the priests ministering in the temple as innocent. Notice what he says. He says in verse 5, profane the Sabbath and are blameless in your sight. When it came to breaking the Sabbath, in spite of the fact they worked even harder on the Sabbath. They worked even harder on the Sabbath. When I was in Bible college, one of our professors there, he said, my wife and I, we practice the Sabbath on Saturday. He said, I'm not a Jew. He said, but listen, I do more work on Sunday than anybody. He said, that is definitely not a Sabbath. Amen. Amen. It's not a day of rest. I'm wore out when I leave. Y'all wear me down. I'm just kidding. But it is. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying here. In other words, you've given these strict regulations, but then you've overlooked some. Okay? So he's wanting to put them in a bind to where they don't know what in the world to say. So by referring them to the temple, the Lord was saying some work took precedence and takes precedence over those laws. And one of those is what? Ministering or serving the Lord. Ministering or serving the Lord. So he said, "You." they're straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel when it came to this. And that was what he wanted them to understand. And specifically, he says, in the temple, specifically the work of the Lord. Because he says in verse 6, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. It's me. And it's serving me. And I'm greater than that. They're serving me. Or God at that time. So the Pharisees realized by that statement that he was referring to himself as being the greater than the temple. And of course that was what? Blasphemy. Blasphemy. Claiming to be God. So everywhere he turned, you know, they were trying their best to get him. So he was saying, therefore, that the work he was doing was more important than the Sabbath laws. His ministry, remember, how many times did they get him for doing healing on the Sabbath? How many times did they do that? He said, what I'm doing on the Sabbath is over the Sabbath laws, is greater than the Sabbath laws. That was his point. And he wanted them to understand there are some things that supersede the Sabbath law of Exodus 20 and certainly your restrictions that you have put on the Sabbath law. What man could do and what man could do. But he was also suggesting that the kingdom he was bringing in would supersede the Old Testament dispensation. He was also saying that. Now, note verse 7. This is from Hosea 6:6. If ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. In other words, if you had known that the Lord seeks mercy rather than sacrifice, you would not find people that show mercy, you would not find them guilty. But you didn't get that. You didn't get that. Now, note verse 10. Here's another incident. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. So they're trying their best to get him trapped. They're doing everything they can. Asking them questions, they're doing their best. Now, this was another Sabbath. Luke 6:6 is the parallel to this, and it's clear that this is another Sabbath. It's not the same Sabbath day. So he's had the confrontation on that one Sabbath where his disciples were picking the corn and eating. Now he's in another Sabbath, and now he's going to heal on the Sabbath day. So this is another Sabbath, and they're attacking him again. Matthew gives it here because it strengthens the argument that Christ is making. And so Matthew has put it in here according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit as he inspires the Scripture. So it is here to support what the Lord is teaching them about mercy and sacrifice and love and doing that which is right, doing things that certainly supersede the Sabbath law. And that's why Matthew adds it in here. So it is always right, the point that Christ is making, it is always right to do good, and especially on the Sabbath. That's what he wanted them to understand. Mercy, love, justice, serving the Lord, serving man. He said that supersedes the law. But you come out with your strictness in guidelines you have, and you do away with all of that. You do away with any kind of love or mercy or serving the Lord, anything, because of your 27 pages or chapters of all these restrictions. He said you destroy all of that teaching. Well, Christ is saying that the Pharisees, they permit someone to go look for a sheep. They can go look for a lost sheep on the Sabbath. They can do that. But you overlook a person. You overlook a person. You hypocrites. You hypocrites. Well, and so continue on now. This morning in verse 10, he's healing a man. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will ye not lay hold on it and lift it out? You see what he's saying? A man has a sheep. He falls in the ditch, and you Pharisees, you'll go pick it up. You working. Right? He said, who would do that, and it falls in a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? And you're not condemning that. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath, to do that which is good, to show mercy, to show help, to show these things to mankind. And so God, what do you say? God at times sets aside his laws. He overlooks his laws for the sake of showing mercy. Aren't you glad he did? Do you realize that if he didn't, none of us would be saved this morning? If he does not overlook his laws and show mercy to us, we'd not be saved this morning. Adam and Eve would have been destroyed. Mark tells us that they were silenced in the Mark account of this. But they were never convinced, because they were so strong on the Sabbath and their view of the Sabbath. In verse 8, when he says, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day, what he is saying is all the commandments and regulations of the Sabbath are subject to the teachings of Jesus, to the teachings of himself. He instructed it, and he can change it. He is the one. You know, we can live by the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law if we're not careful. We can have a religion of rules and rituals and yet be far from God. Be very far from God. Now, and this will carry on into next week. The Lord is not saying, forget the Sabbath. There are things that supersede that law. He is not saying, forget the Sabbath. And that's where I do not believe it's just a ceremonial law. It is a moral law. It is a moral law as well. Now, the issue is not about keeping or not keeping the Sabbath. The issue that he is addressing is the nature of the Sabbath. The nature of the Sabbath. In early church, Christians no longer observed the seventh day. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists do. That's why they call it Seventh-day Adventists. The Christians no longer observe the seventh day of the week as the Jews, but they observe the first day of the week, again, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we observe it on Sundays. Okay? It became a special day, and it was set aside for worship. Not only Christians saw this day as special, but society as well saw it as a special day. It was a special day. It was different from all others. As a child, I can remember there was something, I was that high, and I knew there was something special about that day. Because we did things differently. We did things more relaxed. We went to church. We gathered for a meal. And then we might ride around. But we did things that were different. I knew even at that age, there was something special about that day. You might visit. You might make a visit to someone that's sick. But it was not like any other day of the week. It was just different. Now, there are those who say, yeah, that's back in the day of legalism. It wasn't about legalism. It was about respect and honor for the Lord. I find that when people use that term as legalistic, that means they do it and you don't. And they want to put a guilt trip on you. It ain't about legalism. It's about absolute respect and honor of the Lord. It is the Lord's day. It is not man's day. When we had the blue laws come in, when all of that, years ago, the Christian didn't stand. They did not stand up. They did for a while, but they finally buckled. Why? Because on Sunday we can make more money. We can get overtime, sometimes overtime and a half, whatever. We can make more money. And the next thing you know, what happens? It's not the Lord's day anymore. It's man's day. Because after all, the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So I can do what I want to do. Because it's my day. And the Lord's day became man's day. And it got worse and worse, and it was just nothing about anything. Where was the Lord? Now, here's why I say it would have been, it's a moral thing. Because if we still had that today, it just might have some kind of effect on our corrupt society today. If we'd have held the line and kept it a special day, this is the Lord's day. And even the unsaved would have seen that. But see, we ignored the Lord. We ignored the Lord's day. We made it our day, and we fit right in with the world, right in with society. And that's exactly where we're at today. Exactly where we're at today. Society's attitude toward God changed. It was no longer about God. It was more about man. It's more about what I want to do, more about that. So it just becomes another day. Becomes another day that I can make some money. It becomes another day that I can play some sports. Becomes another day that I can go fishing. After all, I work 5 days a week, and I don't do it on Saturday because I got plans for that, and we'll do it on Sunday. And I can do this, and I can do that. It's a day I can just sleep in. That's Christians. It's not about the Lord's day. And then we ask the Lord to bless us. Why? We're not blessing Him. We're not praising Him. We're not honoring Him. We're not respecting Him. Why should He bless us? We're just as bad off as Judah was in the Old Testament and the Sabbath. Maybe God's going to bring us under judgment, which I think He's already doing. Well, the Sabbath is not binding. Now listen, it is not binding on the Christian. But what is binding is my devotion to the Lord. And my passion for the Lord. And my serving the Lord. And my honoring and respecting the Lord. That's binding. And we show that by how we treat the Lord's day. How often is just a casual thing? It might as well be a religious show. Like going to a concert or something. And yet it's supposed to be a holy day. But is it? Is it? Now I'm not a stickler for this. I don't understand this. But what about dress in churches today? We got sports analysts that they're dressed up with a tie and everything, and then we got the preachers in church look like just come on Skid Row. I think you'll wear the best you can. If the best you can is a pair of blue jeans with holes in them, so be it. Wear the best you can. I've never been a stickler for that. Never have. But I can say it just continues to fall by the wayside. It just continues to fall by the wayside. I remember a sign that was in, a federal building to handle Social Security, something had a sign in there, and it said, "Our employees wear dresses and suits because of the seriousness of the business that's taking place in here." Is it serious in our churches? Isn't there some serious business in our churches? We dress up for a funeral, we dress up for this, we dress up for that. Church did another day. Now I'm not stickler about it, but I'm just saying that's the direction we're going in our society. That's where we're at. Well, Sundays should be a time of rest. It should be a time of worship. It should be a time of meditation. And when Mark says the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath, I think it's because that what you get on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day, is the very need that man has. That's why it's made for man. It's made for man because he can stop and really meditate on the Lord and think about the Lord and gather things from the Lord. Not that he can go fishing and hunting and play sports and all that. No. It is for what is the best thing for man? Is it not those things that draw us closer to the Lord? Is it not those things that give us a deeper passion for the Lord? A growing in grace and knowledge. What can be better than that? Well, you don't understand. I worked 6 days. I got to have a day of leisure and prayer. Well, sacrifice. You know, we talk about sacrificing, but we don't want to sacrifice. Sometimes it does take some sacrifice. Sometimes it does. But is it worth it? Is it worth it? I think so. What could be more greater for a man than to worship the Lord and meditate on Him and rest and serve Him during that day? And so the world becomes more disrespect, shows more disrespect for the Lord. We ought, as God's people, show a greater respect for the Lord. Voltaire said this. Voltaire. There is no hope of destroying the Christian religion while the Christian Sabbath is acknowledged and kept by men as a sacred day. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Even Voltaire saw it. Well, think about it. Next week we'll look at it a little bit more. We'll look at it more from the Exodus 20 view. But I'm just saying, you know, again, it is not binding. But what we do on the Sabbath always is binding. It's always binding. And that's showing our love for the Lord and learning about Him and becoming stronger in the Lord. That is always binding. Let's stand and we'll be